Hello, everyone. It's Scott Tips here, and thanks to Granada Steve for seating me this time yet again. Last week, you may recall, we had Bill Sardi on the program, and he spoke at length on a number of ways in which you can improve your health, keep your health, and actually optimize your health. And it was actually a flood of information, probably hard for a lot of us to keep up with, even me, and I've heard Bill speak before. And I just wanted to say something that I didn't get much of a chance to say last time, and that is that, you know, Granada Steve has been nice enough to let me take this hour slot once a week on Wednesdays, and that's my intention is this time period from 8 to 9 p.m., to fill you in on the latest things that I can do, that I can speak about, and have guests that are cutting edge on health, on nutrition, and on other things as well, other ideas. So in the future, I hope to have some very controversial guests on as well, such as Ian Crane, Howard Davis, and some others who have some real interesting topics to talk about. And I want to reiterate to all of you that if you haven't done it, go to our National Health Federation website and let me encourage you to sign up on our email list there. Go to www.nhf.com, and sign up. And we keep your information strictly confidential. We're fanatics about it, actually. And just as an aside story, even had a court case in the early 90s where someone tried to get access to our membership list and took us to court, and we beat them. That's how seriously we take it. So we don't rent out your names. We don't loan them out. We don't exchange them or anything. So when you sign up with us, we keep it safe and we don't spam you. But what you do get is you get the latest news on Codex Alimentarius, you know, the international food standard body. You get the latest information on what's going on in the world, and we encourage you to send us information that you think is important that we need to get out there to all of you. And for those of you who are there in Ireland, we have the National Health Federation of Ireland, which is quite active trying to remove fluoride from the water supply, the public water supply, and they've been quite aggressive and proactive about it. And I hope to get back to Ireland myself sometime during the summer. I've been invited there to speak again, and I would like to do that. I don't know exactly yet when that will happen, but stay tuned to TNS Radio for the details on that, and also if you're signed up on the email list, you'll know from there, or from going to our website and clicking on the events page. So there's a lot of new stuff going on out there, but I especially want to talk to you about our guest tonight, who very kindly agreed to join us and take time out from her super busy schedule. Joining us today is Kat James. She's the award-winning author of The Truth About Beauty, and a renowned Beauty From Within transformation expert. And I can say that even Bill Sardi, who was on last week, has taken advantage of her health advice and her health expertise. Before becoming the natural health world's premier beauty-oriented health expert, and before that, one of the most famous beauty experts of the 90s, Kat had a far deeper transformation herself that actually involved overcoming a, dozen-year-long heroin-like addiction to food and a slew of other serious diseases. And after healing herself of one issue after the other while dropping 10 dress sizes and dramatically transforming her skin in the process, Kat spent, nearly a decade gathering the science to validate what was, and still is, an unusual approach that she pieced together for her own health and vitality, and since then she's used it to go on to help thousands of others dramatically change their lives, transform their lives and their looks, as she did through her own as she did herself. And through her best-selling book, she has a national health column. She has her own website, talk radio shows that she appears on, PBS Special. Her website is www.informedbeauty.com. And she has her own, literally internationally acclaimed, Total Transformation program. So while I was teaching salsa dancing to crack addicts in L.A., she was doing all of this. So she's been doing some incredible work. And, hey, don't laugh. They had all the energy. They just sort of lacked the focus there. But in any event, I wanted to introduce Kat. And Kat, are you there? Please.
I am. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on. And first off the bat, I have to congratulate you on your Silver Nautilus Award for the re-release of your literally word-of-mouth bestseller, The Truth About Beauty. What was different, or what is different about the re-release version?
Well, it's interesting because Simon & Schuster, who owns my little publisher and bought my little publisher, chose one book out of 200 to be re-released, and it is an encyclopedic book to begin with that took me about 7 years to write. So when they said that I would need to have a 40% update, it certainly was a little more than just a trivial update. So it was a few more years. And but I think it was, considering that is a book that is very, it's a biochemical transformation, cellular level transformation. What's interesting is that the core truths about it, which are some of these biochemical things that I stumbled upon myself that got me out of my eating disorder, my liver disorder, and really completely transformed my cravings and relationship with food, they have not changed. The difference is that I had met one of the foremost scientists on the hormone leptin while I was in the process of writing this 40% update, and he literally told me that I was resensitizing people on a cellular level at my programs to a hormone called leptin, which I didn't even know what that was. So here I am, you know, doing quote-unquote beauty cruises and having people eat along and live along with me 5 to 10 days in a row and really observing the same incredible thing, no cravings by day 3, for example, and then not really knowing that I was resensitizing them on a cellular level to a hormone called leptin, which has all sorts of implications, which I certainly make no claims for, but the stories that keep coming out of this, many of them unexpected in nature, are pretty incredible healings.
Well, you know, I've seen some of your results, and of course I've followed your work through being on your email list, which was really nice because you have some incredible stories on a personal, very personal basis that I've seen, and I've witnessed some of the results in others myself, seen what you've done. And I still remember we met at some, I think it was the Anaheim Health Food Show when I was with Bill Sardi, and some of the things I had seen, and you spoke at that event, I believe, and they were incredible. I mean, you had people really changing their lives dramatically just through changing their diet and in ways that have really been helpful. I know that you're literally decades of work with people in this natural health arena came out of your own personal story of healing. Can you just fill us in a bit about that?
Sure. I probably made my name the most prominent way in the world of mainstream beauty and fashion. I was one of the top celebrity makeup artists of the 90s. I worked with celebrities like Martha Stewart, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kate Hudson, people like that. The irony is that as I was building that career, and believe me, I did not look the part. I did not look like the typical fashion, New York City fashion set, a member of the fashion set. I had an eating disorder, and it was a binge eating disorder. I mean, earlier it was classic bulimia, binging and purging. But going back to the origins of that eating disorder, it was really in junior high, right when puberty set in, my body started to change. I started to just suddenly gain, curves in certain places and panic, and like teenagers very often do, go on a diet. And I started restricting calories because many people still happen to believe that restricting calories is how you lose weight. And so I, of course, I bought into that completely, had my first period of calorie restriction, followed by, surprise, surprise, my first binging. And then that was so repulsive to me that I would then skip meals. And you start to biochemically mess yourself up when you do that. And some people, just by fasting, can actually start to develop a drug-like relationship with food. And this has been shown in animal studies, that the same meal can become a drug-like meal if you don't eat and if you fast or if you starve yourself before that meal. In retrospect, I feel that was how my eating disorder started. It got worse and worse, and I had the classic bulimia through high school. And then I hit a health crisis after moving to New York to be, of all things, a makeup artist in the fashion world. And I just started to have heart palpitations after these binges that I would inevitably do every night. And so I wound up having not only heart palpitations but blurry vision. I messed up digestion. I wasn't passing digested food. I went to the doctor, and they said that my liver was failing. And I didn't have any hepatitis, so it wasn't viral. And I just found out that I had this crazy autoimmune thing that was attacking my liver in a critical way. And that was when I kind of woke up. I just said, I'm not going to take the drug that you're telling me I have to take, because my instinct told me I wouldn't be around if I took their immunosuppressants. I wound up fixing my liver and many other things, as you know.
So what sort of told you to be the rebel there and not go along with the medical advice to take their drugs and do their usual butchery?
I still don't understand it, because I wasn't raised to question authority. In my family, we didn't even send back a steak if it wasn't cooked. So I don't know why. I just had this feeling after, and this is before the internet, Scott, so I had to go to a bookstore to read about this immunosuppressant drug, and my gut just said, you're not going to be alive in 2 years if you take it, because it said that the drug didn't work usually, that it caused depression. I was absolutely would have been on every antidepressant drug if it had been a few years later. Thank God this happened before, all of those drugs were introduced. And so I knew that I was not all of the things, the when I get thin dreams that sustained me day in and day out, all of this would have been nothing. I wouldn't have had any hope. And it would have been downhill, and I would have seen the healthiest days for sure, because I was not going to do well. And so that was why I just woke up and I walked into a health food store, thank God for the degree of health freedom that we had then, and I looked in the books, the health books under the indexes, under liver, and I kept coming across the same herbs, milk thistle, probiotics, fish oil, whey protein, these different things that were supposed to help me regenerate my liver. I did not believe at all they would work, but three times back to my liver specialist at New York Hospital, and those liver enzymes went down about 200 points each time until they were normal.
Incredible.
And it stunned my doctor. It stunned me, and that just started. It started an insatiable hunger for information, just personally, about my other issues. I picked up a book, The Sugar Blues, The Yeast Connection, a book about thyroid called Why Am I So Tired, a book about depression. I started taking all of those things. I had kind of a critical and accidental, one nutrient for the thyroid happens to heal the dopamine receptors in my brain. And that broke my food addiction. It was incredible. And I didn't even, I really didn't even understand until years later when I went to write The Truth About Beauty what had really happened biochemically to me, but it's so solid that I went from 12 years of absolute enslavement, being a, you know, a very capable perfectionist type person, but unable to not binge. I mean, white knuckling it like a drug addict. And I really was biochemically. And to be a person who was free and who can take for granted that I never have any cravings for 20 years. And this works, and it's worked for other people. And it's just a, an amazing privilege to be able to conduct my Total Transformation programs and share that information with people.
I think that's great because I've seen your before and after pictures, and they're quite a difference between the two. But I think they're on your website even. What is your website? Can you mind giving that to the listeners?
Sure. It'd be my pleasure. It's informedbeauty.com, informed with an E-D, beauty.com.
Okay. I know I said it originally, but just in case someone wasn't tuned in then or didn't have time to write it down, and it's good to emphasize that it's informed, E-D, there at the end of informed. Beauty.com, like you just did. So can you tell us what, I mean, your program is a dietary program, one of foods you should eat and foods you should avoid. Is there anything you can tell us about that without giving away
sure.
the whole?
Well, sure. It's almost a self-imposed lifestyle intervention. You know, you come to what is usually an incredible location. But of course, as you know, I also do these over the phone and internet, and have had a lot of international success stories arise out of that. But it's a commitment, and it's something where I am either with you, if it's in the case of the destination program, like the recent Costa Rica Total Transformation or the recent Vail, Colorado. It's a situation where people come and they live along with me for at least 5 days. And what happens is you're sort of captive, but you don't feel captive because you cannot believe how decadent what you're eating is. And it's not completely and only about the food. There is a lot of education on supplementation that people have the option to incorporate as they choose. I certainly don't prescribe, but I inform people to the extent that each person comes out of this program not only having eaten food that will not spike their blood sugar and allows for this metabolic transformation, and I mean, I'm not overstating by using that word. This resensitization to leptin has an incredible impact body-wide. But the first and most obvious is that no matter how riddled one has been with cravings or even an eating disorder, the cravings are gone by day three with very few exceptions. And the food is decadent. There is a retraining for the body to prefer fat as fuel. But at the very same time, you are using things from head to toe that literally give you a sanctuary from any kind of toxic negativity. And so this is not just about the food. It is also about reprogramming and getting away from anything that is harming you.
As I remember, I saw some of the stuff you've done, or photos, or both. I'm trying to remember which, but you actually have substitutes for favorite foods that people have, and if they just, some of this is mentioned in your book, of course, or a lot of it is, but also you teach people individually in seminars and the like how to make foods that look identical to bad foods, if you can call them that, mm-hmm. and yet they taste the same, they look almost the same, and they fool the taste buds. Is that an accurate?
Yeah, I have to say I'm a major, major foodie, as you know, and I can remember, you know, that woman in that before picture, and I can remember how she would have reacted if someone said, yeah, you're going to do this diet and you're going to eat things that don't taste good, or you're going to give up you know, just forget that you ever liked Cheese Nips or, you know, Girl Scout cookies or, and so I have what is called my Dead Ringer collection, and I've been working at these things in different total transformation location kitchens over 10 years. And so not only have I developed, you know, a Toll House Dead Ringer, but I also have just what I call transformation batter, which has no grain and no flour. And yet you pour that into a Belgian waffle maker and turn out waffles that people absolutely taste no difference between what they remember eating as a Belgian waffle in their childhood. And so I'm very dedicated to taste and the pleasure of it, but above all, you wouldn't know it, the biochemistry of it is absolutely the objectives are being achieved.
You know, I wish, thank you for that, I wish I could show visuals to the listeners here. Is there a particular story, without naming names or maybe giving them a pseudonym, that you could relate to the listeners to drive it home how effective this program is?
Yeah. I have, you know, it's effective whether it's done over the phone or in person. People who are visual people, for example, I'm going to be doing the program literally in a castle in Vail on June 1st. And I've done the program in Tuscany, in Maui, in the Caribbean. But the great thing about those on-site programs is that people can, you know, who really are visual people and want to do things hands-on or who are not so great in the kitchen can do this. But many people, especially internationally, have done the program over the phone. And what comes to mind is recently a Canadian fitness model, and he's completely already, we've published his story, so I can tell his name, Bernard Richardson. And he had first shared the story about being having an eating disorder, but that his trainer actually had him on a carb loading regimen. And my program is somewhat high in fat, very controversial that way. But he started, and within a week and a half, after being on his trainer's regimen of carb loading and meal skipping, which gave him an eating disorder. I mean, we're talking blurry vision. He would think about the next meal when he was finishing the current meal. He once passed out after it. He was food obsessed during the meal skipping. So this guy also had acne. He also constantly had to worry about gaining fat still. So he was a runner-up for winning my program from the Vitamin Shoppe's magazine, Amazing Wellness. And within a week and a half of starting my program, stepped on the scale and was puzzled because he gained 4 pounds. And so this is a guy who has to pump up before his photo shoot gigs. They do curls and push-ups. And his sponsor that week said, "Wow, did you already pump up?" They did the fat calipers. He gained no fat. In fact, he lost fat and gained only muscle.
How long had he been on your program?
I mean, literally within a couple of weeks, he gained muscle, and 4 pounds of muscle only. And he was working out 5 or 6 times. He reduced his workout schedule to 2 or 3 times. And actually wound up firing his trainer, who accused him of taking steroids.
That's funny.
He had three spots in his eyes, on the whites of his eyes, that began to fade. His blurry vision had gone away. All of his food cravings had gone away. His ability to eat normally and no more craving. And he finally had the first normal Christmas this past Christmas, where he enjoyed a social Christmas. And he's thinking of getting out of the field because he looks around, he says, at how most people, and it's very interesting because I had another one in his field at my Costa Rica program, a woman from Australia. And it's true, they are not going about it in general as an industry in a healthy way at all.
Hmm. No, I would agree with you. I don't think, and him, I don't think they're going about it in a healthy way. And there are so many health problems that occur there. Now, there are some good ones, it seems, but most are not. It's almost short-term thinking is what I would call it, where they look to the immediate gains but not the long-term detriments of what's going on. Now, I know, because I've seen them myself, that you have many national, you know, magazine articles in the United States, particularly over the last, let's say, decade, that have highlighted how you've been able to do all of this, you know, that is to get these very dramatic physical transformations, both in health or in weight, through your, what do you call it, your total transformation program. So has this program evolved over time? How do you do this?
Yeah, you know, not any two programs in a row are the same. It's amazing what I've observed. And the metabolic health of the average person, certainly the average American, but I know this is true in other countries as well, unfortunately, has gone downhill. So we're talking about people that have, believe it or not, a lower threshold for having their blood sugar spike by the same food, you know, be it something like a banana or a bowl of berries. It's amazing that after 10 years of fat-free falsehoods, you know, influencing how people eat, they are left with a very different metabolic challenge. So someone who might have been healthy 10 years ago before they started eating fat-free foods or low-fat foods might be much more sensitive to having their blood sugar spiked, or actually literally insensitive to hormones like insulin and like leptin. And that changes what kinds of foods the average person can eat and still remain sensitive to these hormones. Now, being sensitive to insulin and leptin, it just means that your body is actually going to burn fat. Most people, even thin people, who rely on low-fat foods or spike their blood sugar, even with too many grains, are not able to burn much fat. And so they have a great challenge because they continue to avoid calories, and yet their body is still wanting to store fat. So these changes that have happened have influenced my program. It's influenced what I will serve on my program, the amount of certain things people can have. And as strict as that sounds, it's still an incredibly decadent program, but everyone learns by feel, not by number. It's not how many carbs, how many calories, how many fat grams, and none of that. You learn by feel how a meal how you've responded to a meal metabolically. Does it sedate you? Does it leave you feeling kind of tired? Does it cause you to crave later? Because here you get off of that roller coaster completely in a matter of literally a few days, and you are free from the craving, free from the afternoon drag. You don't feel groggy in the morning anymore. Your head clears up. Even your vision can change. So my program is no two are the same. And the kinds of stories from someone having a spontaneous 90% reduction of viral load with hepatitis C to be given a clean bill of health from their cardiologist after their cardiologist failed to reduce the inflammation around their heart with drugs for 4 months, you name it. I have seen, I mean, type 2 diabetes, I can't make a claim, but I can honestly tell you not a person with type 2 diabetes has continued to have it after doing this program.
So it seems to help with a lot of different issues, from body fat to really major health issues as well. And I have to say, I'm continually astonished at the different types of people you've been able to help. And indeed, that's one reason I wanted to have you on this program, is because I think it's important for a lot of people outside the U.S. I know you teach people internationally. Your book has been sold internationally, but probably it's less well known in Europe than it is in the U.S. or North America. So I wanted to have the listeners benefit from that, not that they are just based in Europe there. I understand something else, that you've had a lot of ADHD patients at your programs that have had really incredible outcomes from that. I don't know if you'd mind sharing your experiences or what came about there, these attention deficit disorder patients who came to your programs.
Sure. I mean, a couple come to mind. I just had on my radio show an SEO guru, and he actually put one of the most famous diets, not Weight Watchers, but the other most famous one, at the top of the search engines, and he has felt a little strange about that since then because he got onto my teleprogram out of curiosity. This, again, it's going to begin on June 7th, my summer one. I do it four times a year. It's a couple of Thursday evenings that happen per month over a three-month period. This allows incredible troubleshooting, individualization, and calibration of this because it's all a customized program for each individual. And so this was a fellow named Jerry, and he was able to go from having completely lost his ability to focus, and they said he had a learning disability, put him on ADHD drugs. He was not sleeping through the night, having anxiety attack, total insomnia. He had had a small heart attack. And so he actually, going into the program, said, I think I'm kind of healthy, though, because my doc says my numbers are okay with my statins that I'm taking. And I informed him that he was a walking time bomb. He did this program faithfully, saw physical changes that his family noticed within 1 week, and went to a Super Bowl party, and his friends were like, what's going on with you? He had an initial kind of deflation of a swollen face and all of the edema that he had. So he did not know, though, that what used to be afternoons at his desk trying to start the same task over again five times was going to become a renewal of completely being able to focus, a return of deep sleep. All of his numbers in terms of his inflammation and all of the standard markers for this learning disability he'd been misdiagnosed with, in my opinion, he told his doctor, and his doctor retested him on all these things and said, oh, you took the meds, that's great, they must be working. His doctor was actually upset at him because he said, no, I've just begun this program. So he started his son on it. His son, who was on three different ADHD medications, taken off all of them. His son is now making A's and B's, and for the first time is absolutely a normally able to learn child in school. And he just says, I have just proven this is completely nutritional.
That's absolutely amazing, these stories. But I was wondering what you could perhaps tell the listeners to do right now to improve sure. their health. You have a program. I know people can read the book. They also, you have virtually one-on-one seminars where people can gather together, maybe 9 to 10 people, something like that, 12 people, and you can teach them that way, or they can go hear you speak. But right now, what could they do to improve their health right this minute?
Well, absolutely, and even in the Truth About Beauty, I try to do this, and what's going to make the biggest difference in the shortest period of time? Here's a couple things they can start with. Any drinkable sugar needs to go immediately, and I mean even juices, things that you consider to be natural, drinkable sugar needs to go. All of the chemicals and processed food things you can even think of, and to even imagine that you have to give up taste just because you give up fake food, that's the biggest myth. And so sugar, go beyond just the concept of sweets and understand that sugar exists, especially in someone who's metabolically challenged. If you have cravings or a weight issue or food issues, you have to understand that sugar is a problem. Even if you are, not eating so-called sugar. So grains, and to some people, even certain fruits and certain starchy vegetables are a real problem. And taking those out and not avoiding fat, not being phobic of fat, And there's bad fat, of course. There's good fat. But most people just think all animal fat is bad fat. That's not true either. So you get your hands on grass-fed or pasture-raised meats, cheeses, butter, that actually has a brain-healthy fatty acid profile and is very good for you. But you actually need a very good amount of fat. The more that you take out your sugar, the more fat you need. You can't just add a bunch of protein because guess what? Excess protein turns into sugar.
Yeah, and what do you think about supplements, people taking supplements?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't take supplements. I would have died. I truly, truly believe it. I believe they saved my life. They saved my liver. They have dramatically helped my thyroid, my entire physical change, whereby all my skin rashes are gone, my 10 dress sizes down, all those things that make me unrecognizable in my hometown.
Yeah.
You know, those things wouldn't have happened without supplementation. Many people say, oh, well, diet and exercise, you know, and calorie control, those are the main ones. And they think of supplements as something for later. But there are so many things only supplements can do, especially when you've gotten yourself as off balance as I have. I just call it nature and therapeutic doses. And that is why I'm very, it is so important, not even, you know, when I was dying, but to the person I am today. You know, your schedule is incredible, going to all of those Codex meetings, et cetera. Everyone you know, Bill Sardi, you know, we have these incredible schedules, and most people listening probably have really overdone and overscheduled the demands on themselves. And we need this extra help, not only to stay from getting sick, but inevitably to bring us back to health once we have gotten into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a question, actually, Kat, from one of the listeners asking if there's anything you know about modified starch in foods and whether, well, they don't really say, but I would guess rather that they're asking whether that's healthy or unhealthy or
sure.
Whether you need to avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of pseudonyms for what we know as MSG, and that is one of the pseudonyms for it, so you certainly want to avoid it. The easy way to avoid it is just don't buy packaged food.
Yeah.
Prepared sauce. Yeah.
I think, as I recall hearing the story, when you went to one particular person that you did a private seminar for a week or 10 days, you went in and went through the kitchen and the refrigerator, like Attila going through Eastern
sure.
Europe, and threw everything out that even remotely was bad, and probably could have fed an army, but they ended up having much, much better health at the end of that. Even at the beginning, quite honestly. But.
Absolutely. And their seven-year-old, mm-hmm. I've done this a lot. When I have a program scheduled, I try to accommodate if people want this extra service. But the seven-year-old that lived there went and did the program along with this private client and eventually even kind of stuck with us when she allowed me to have a full program of 10 women there. And the behavior was so dramatically changed in that child that it was night and day. And even months later, it really had stuck. That child did not want to go out and get candy for Halloween night. And that was June when they first started. So we're talking all the way to October, and that child still wants to stay home and have stevia or xylitol-sweetened desserts instead of sugar-sweetened candy.
That's absolutely amazing because, you know, I know that child myself personally, and to see his behavior modified that way is incredible. So... that is just, I mean, my hat's off to you for being able to accomplish that. And someone who would otherwise be unwilling to do that, it just goes to testify kind of as a testament to the strength of your program.
Thank
and
you.
I read your book. I think It's marvelous. I think people will probably get more benefit from having a one-on-one with you or doing the, doing the seminar that, the teleconference.
And they get, Scott, they get one-on-one there. The beautiful thing about it is I have one-on-one and there is a group listening, and so many of those who are listening get their questions answered just from that one-on-one, but everyone gets that one-on-one time if they do this teleprogram.
Well, let me ask you something else about it, because I know we talked about ADHD. What about autism? You think your program would have any benefit to autistic children?
I do. I've seen a difference in an Asperger's child. I haven't. More of my exposure has been to the ADHD children. But the interesting thing is there's incredible changes that I've observed in all of the pretty much in every brain issue that anyone who's ever attended over the last 10 years has had. And I'm even talking about dramatic resolution, no longer needing epilepsy drugs, even more ADHD stories I haven't told you about, which is, of course, an autism spectrum, recognized as an autism spectrum issue. But as far as the Asperger's, what I observed in that child was instantly feeling calmer, and calmness is an issue. But I truly believe that what I've seen in terms of anxiety and mood and pretty much, as I mentioned, pretty much every irregularity so far that people have had has seen incredible improvement. It's just basically correct nutrition. Grains were added into the diet of humans, I don't know, maybe 14,000 years ago, close to that. And the health of the general species went downhill. There's way more than the absence of grains that distinguish my approach. But the fat issue, even the essential fatty acids and how a lack of those in the mother can predict learning behaviors in children, there's a gut connection with the autism. That may not be the, direct. It certainly is common to most of them. The work of Andrew Wakefield highlighted that. And I just believe that there is a dysfunction in the gut that happens from many of the things that are no longer or removed from my approach. And so I think it's really, I feel like it's a piece that is a prerequisite piece for people. Is it the final piece? I'm not sure, but I've seen incredible improvement.
But just so I'm clear, the prerequisite is to get grains out of your diet?
No, the prerequisite would be the whole piece, the whole getting enough of the good fats. Mm-hmm. And I'm really big on getting the grains out. I mean, there is certainly a mantra of gluten-free, casein-free. I honestly think that some dairy is being thrown out with the bathwater, and that some dairy presents any problems. Pasteurization presents a challenge, but I'm talking about my overall approach, not just the grain aspect.
Okay. Well, we have another question. Someone's asking, is cholesterol really as bad as the mainstream health industry would have us believe?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And they're relying very much on things like the China study or the Framingham. A China study was just an observation, and there was some cherry picking involved in the conclusions. And cholesterol is, there's nothing, there's no conclusive evidence that cholesterol is bad. In fact, cholesterol is needed, as we know, for hormonal functioning, to transport fat-soluble vitamins. There was a mysterious emergence of, or an awareness because of a recent study showing that people who are making more muscle have higher LDL cholesterol. I learned from Dr. Ron Rosedale, again, one of the foremost experts on that hormone leptin I was talking about, that only the small particle cholesterol gets lodged in the arteries. But guess why? Because of sugar and because of cheap vegetable fats, not because of animal fats. There's no study confirming that dietary cholesterol winds up in your arteries. It's made by the liver in response to inflammation as a patching agent. So what you really need to look at for men are other things like blood ferritin, or for women, building up the calcium for lack of perhaps vitamin K, and your C-reactive protein or your inflammation throughout your body. How do you bring that down? Just the way we're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. That makes sense to me, and it certainly dovetails with a lot of what Bill Sardi has said last week and in his works, perhaps. Someone else asked, what about multiple sclerosis? Is there anything that your program does for that? Would it help someone with that?
Well, I believe, I actually am not sure with myself, but I believe I had it for a period of time. I went through a period of time where I was dragging my leg around, and I never went to the doctor to see what was going on. So that's neither here nor there. Of course, it's not happening anymore, but there's an autoimmune component, and there's a vitamin D component, there's a gut component, I believe, and many believe. So things like lupus, rheumatoid issues, autoimmune, certain kinds of chronic fatigue, all sorts of allergies, food sensitivities, fibromyalgia, major improvements with this. I have not in 10 years. I have someone with Parkinson's will be coming to my next program, and that'll be interesting. I have really good feeling about that. But I have not had someone come with MS. But I do know that there is a vitamin D and a gut connection that needs to be explored, and the healing and the anti-inflammatory effects of what I've seen with irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's and all sorts of gut things. It's also a part of not only why I have confidence with regards to almost all autoimmune things improving, but also the autism as well, the gut aspect.
Well, I want to emphasize that, of course, you don't even pretend to give medical advice. You're just helping people transform their diets. And mm-hmm. if any of these beneficial effects occur, well, it's not your fault. And so I just want to put that out there. Someone else, because partly, in fact, because someone else has asked, would this dietary approach help people who have cancer as well? And I don't know what you could say about that.
All I will say is that it is widely known that cancer cells feed off of glucose. And there was a study, I wish I could tell you, it just came out, a second study, on the simply with the conclusion showing that the lower carb the diet, the less cancer, the less breast cancer. I know that there was another study that dealt with colon cancer with a similar outcome. And so it just makes all the sense in the world. Certainly I can say that Dr. Ron Rosedale's former clinic in Denver, which was famous for reversing type 2 in less than 2 weeks, he saw many remissions of stage 4 cancers and attributed completely to the absolute lowest and the most minimized intake of not only sugars, but things that turn into sugars possible.
Well, before we get into some of the other questions, I just wanted to talk about something else, too. I know that for 4 years you've conducted this internet and actually a phone-based teleprogram version of your total transformation programs, and you've had these incredible physical outcomes from around the world, which you've shared with us actually tonight, and you've also talked already a bit about how these programs work and all of that. Are there any other stories that you haven't already shared with us about people who had major transformations that we haven't already touched on? Omar, am I talking to myself? Did I lose you? I think I did. So while we reconnect with Kat James there, and again I'm speaking, we've been hearing Kat James, who's the author of The Truth About Beauty, and has her website at www.informedbeauty.com, and I recommend that all of you go there and look at this. This is a remarkable program to improve health in all areas. And she's done a remarkable job with a number of people, some of whom I know personally, as a matter of fact. Others I don't, many I don't, but some I do. And I've seen the book myself, and the book is really phenomenally interesting, and it's well worth your dipping a toe in the water and getting a first start with that and seeing if it is something you would like to explore further. But I really offer this to you because this is an advantage. This is something that can help all of you improve your health, can help me improve my health. And it's something that, that would concern us. Now, someone somewhere, I don't know if Kat's back online yet or not. Maybe I'll get an indication from TNS Radio at some point what's happening to get her back online. Because I'd rather you hear her rather than me. But someone had asked something or made a statement, maybe, I should say, about vitamin D3 in sunlight, that we need sunlight to create vitamin D3. Well, I'm with that person. I won't name names, but someone listening in, I'm with that person. We do need sunlight. It has a lot of factors in it other than just simply vitamin D3, but the subsequent statement that this person made, that no supplement can ever provide the international units needed per day to boost the immune system, is flat out wrong. Thankfully, I appreciate it, but it's just wrong. You can do it. There are tons of studies that show that. And besides, if you're living in Ireland, good luck getting enough sunlight for 11 months of the year. You won't. And you absolutely won't in the fall. You won't in the winter. You won't in the springtime because you're too far north with your latitude. And the sun, the vitamin D producing rays, are coming in at too steep an angle because the tilt of the Earth's axis. And it's having to cut through too much atmosphere. So even if you were to have sunlight in a February or March month, you will not produce vitamin D on your skin, and most likely you're going to be well bundled up from the cold anyway. What do you think? You're going to get a lot of vitamin D on your nose, enough to last you? You won't. You have to supplement. There's no other way around it because your diet won't provide it unless you're eating a lot of blubber like an Eskimo, so you aren't going to get enough vitamin D. And already there are ample studies as shown through vitamindcouncil.com where supplements alone produce the boost to your immune system in high, high levels. So it's absolutely good advice to take supplemental vitamin D at this time of year and so on and on. Let me see if I can get any word on Kat James and see if she's back. TNS, can we get any reconnection with Kat?
Are you there, Scott? Kat went offline. So,
Is there any way to get her back on? All right. Well, we'll continue on. And if any of you out there have some questions, I'll pretend like I'm Kat and try to answer them. And if not, then we'll have something from her in the future, hopefully, and I can repeat it on the program next week at this time and go from there. It's just important for you to know that this is something that has beneficial effects for people, and it's a shame she's not able to finish up on telling you, but it is something where anyone who enacts these programs can benefit. I don't care what you have, even if you think you're healthy, it's something that will make you healthier. Now, Lee's saying he should have said, especially in the north where sunlight is less than the tropics, but I don't quite understand that because the other statement was categorically flat about saying that supplements wouldn't boost your immune system, and actually they do. Whether it's vitamin C, supplementation, whether it's vitamin D supplementation, whether it's selenium. It's already been shown by numerous studies conducted by well-respected scientists that those will boost your numbers. Indeed, oftentimes those are the only ways to do it. You won't get enough vitamin C in your diet. You won't get enough vitamin D in your diet. And selenium is very hard to come by in the British Isles because it's very selenium poor soil there. So you have to eat Brazil nuts, or you have to take a selenium supplementation to get enough. And those are all anti-cancer, antiviral supplements, those three that I just mentioned. So in any event, and I would urge all of you to look after your health first, and it will improve your mood, too. That's something else that Kat had mentioned before, is that alongside these physical improvements go a marked mood improvement. So if any of you want to improve your mood, this is one way to do it. Kat's there in the southern U.S. at the moment. She travels around a lot, I guess, and actually gives a lot of advice to a lot of different people. She used to be, for a period of time, if I may say this, and she doesn't mind, she was even the makeup artist for Martha Stewart and did her makeup back in the pre-prison days for Martha Stewart. And so she has a lot of great contacts. She has a lot of skills that people don't even know about. And interestingly enough, Kat is a very strong supporter, too, of Ron Paul. Can you believe it? Here's someone who both knows about health and nutrition and also knows what's going on in the world politically and economically and knows what to do to take action in that regard. Let me check and see if there are any other questions coming in that I could answer or pretend to answer. And I see there's a comment from someone who had spent 5 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, had 5-year hell on antidepressants and sleeping tablets, and yet down there was the first time he had slept properly in years. So there was something about that. Maybe getting more sunlight, getting more, depends upon where you were in Australia and New Zealand. If you're on the South Island, New Zealand, it might have been a bit tough, but on the North Island, you probably would have. And this is yet another confirmation of that, of the benefits of that. So a lot of you just need to be aware of your health and realize in these days, and in this age, that when they're trying to really harm your health through all these different things going on in the atmosphere, in our food supply, in our water supply, things we talked about last time, you need to be especially alert to stay healthy and keep your health. So I urge you all to do it. I see my time is just about up. I'm sorry again we lost Kat. She's an incredible woman to listen to. She has a wealth of knowledge, and we've all benefited from it, and she's one of the people I learn nutrition from. And if you get a chance to go to one of her seminars, I strongly recommend that you do that. If you can't, then go online and enroll in her online email programs or whatever she has going there. And again, it's www.informedbeauty.com. Okay, well, it's just about the end of the hour, and I don't see any further questions, so I think I will hand this over. And for once, Mr. C, Mr. Curative, who has always been gracious and generous with me, will perhaps start on time. So I'll sign off now, and thank you all for listening, and I hope to hear or have you hear me next week. Okay, thanks, and goodbye. Be healthy.